Today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel. We're holding a Masechet Sanhedrin, the fourth parak, Echad Dinei Mamonot. And the Mishnah now has listed the differences between Dinei Mamonot and Dinei Nefashot. And one of the important differences is the fact that a judge can change his mind when it comes to Dinei Mamonot, and it doesn't matter whether it's L'chovah, whether it's the Zechut. But if we're talking about a capital case, then only if someone who was previously found guilty is now ready by the judge to be exonerated, the court is ready to find him innocent, then we can take the din back. But you can't take a din back once you've declared the man to be innocent. Is that true? Ask the Gemara. I mean, isn't there a beferish emission in Bechorot that we've discussed many times? Veraminu. Dan et adin, a judge, a court, who now finished a particular case and made a mistake. And they ended up exonerating someone or pottering someone who was supposed to be paying. Here we're talking about money. Sikeyat ha-chayav, chiyevet ha-zakai, timeyat ha-tahor, tiheret ha-tamei, or even in things which cause loss that has to do with the loss of perot because of tumah, the loss of perot because not only that the perot were called tamei, but even if you were metayer or something which was tamei, and now the guy won't be able to use it, he mixed it up with his other perot, now he's really in trouble. So Masha Sasui, there's no way to change your mind and say, well, it was all a mistake. What he did is done. Mishalim Beito, any losses that were caused by the original psak, he's going to have to pay. So apparently, you can't simply say, whoops, change my mind. It's really okay. Om Rav Yosef, Lokasha, both Mishnayot are correct. Our Mishnah that says that a judge could change his mind is talking about a mumcha. So a mumcha now is someone that is actually considered to be a full-scaled expert in the din, in terms of Beis Din's recognition of him as a mumcha. So if he's not a mumcha, then obviously the defendant or the person who is now being found chayev to pay is going to say, look, you know, they change their mind all the time, the doctors. You know, today the eggs are no good, tomorrow the eggs are good. I like the one that says the eggs are good. The same thing you judges, you know, today it's this, tomorrow it's that. I like the first way you said it, in which I don't have to pay. Why should I believe the second way? You're just as reliable to me for one as for the other. If a person is a mumcha, so then we say he can, in fact, really conclude that he makes a mistake. And this is exactly the problem that people have with these types of scientific evidence. Not being aware of the nature of science, they believe that it has nothing, there's no issue of being able to be aimed on the truth. It's sort of what you feel one day or another. It's voodoo. You know, so the voodoo today is this, the voodoo tomorrow is that. So why listen to one voodoo? You can listen to another voodoo. So Mimela, I don't take it seriously. But if he's a mumcha, so then that means that people are aware of the fact that there is, in fact, a Torah method, there's a halachic method, and it's possible to be made on a mistake. So that's obviously, he's able to effectuate that halacha. That's Rav Yosef's approach, two different dinim. So with a mumcha, you can be machzir, and with an inner mumcha, you can't. Ask the Gemara Rav Yosef. I can show you that even with a mumcha, you can't simply change your mind because you made a mistake. V'hakatani, im hayam mumcha lebedin patur milishalem. Now, what are you going to do with that? Here it says, if the man was a mumcha, then he doesn't have to pay. What do you mean? Then he doesn't have to pay. Then he changes his mind. So of course you're not having to pay. It's that I told you that you should pay this money. The guy will have to give that money back to you. So what's wrong? He could change his mind. Where would he ever get into a situation where he has to pay? Omer, Nachman, I say,
after the mumcha.
Dafka the mumcha, and you're claiming that the mumcha will never have to pay because all he has to do is reverse his psika. Omer of Nachman, the truth is that it depends on the case. Kan sheyesh gadol imenu b'chokhma b'minyan, v'kan she'en gadol imenu b'chokhma b'minyan. If you have an authority who is clearly more authoritative in terms of a court or in terms of an individual, so that person now has the keyach to be mevatel what the original person said, and said he was wrong. But in a case where you don't have a gadol emenu, even if the person himself says, I was wrong, the baldin will not accept that I was wrong because it's not coming from a higher authority. So it's not that the person himself can be mavzadadin, says Rav Nachman. It's that an individual with greater authority can be mavzadadin. Rav Shesha says, I have a different approach. I say it depends what the issue was. Kan shita'a b'dvar mishnah, and kan ki shita'a b'shikul hadat. It depends whether there is a clear-cut reference to the case in precedent, and therefore he can now show that his original psak was wrong based on this mishnah. And here, take a look at the precedent, and you see the mishnah already passed in this halacha. I was wrong. Okay, so then we have an objective reference to his being wrong or right, and indeed it was objectively wrong. But if you're talking about something which is a ta'ab shikul adat, it's a question of judgment. Judgment is always a question. So now we're saying, now your judgment is that will balance it in this direction. Before it was in that direction. We're talking about minor adjustments in the way now you weigh things. That's what shikul means, weigh. So you're weighing judgment. Weighing judgment, I mean, who's to say the first one was wrong? It wasn't really wrong. So there you cannot be ma'azad din. And if you're convinced that you wrongly cost this person money, you'll pay him. That's the difference. The Omer of Sheshes, Omer of Asi, and that this is Reb Sheshes' psak elsewhere, and therefore we can clearly apply it to the difference between the Mishnah here and the Mishnah in Bechorot. The Omer of Sheshet, Omer of Asi, Ta'ab b'dvar Mishnah Choser, Ta'ab b'shikul hadat eino Choser, and then the direct application of Rav Ashi, it would be right here in our sugya with this contradiction. Oh, we're going to get to that. We're getting to it. So now we have a question from Rav Amnuna to Rav Sheshi, should be the correct girsa, not Ravina to Rav Ashi. As we'll see later on, the Bach changes here the girsa, but it's clear from the Gemara that the Bach's change of girsa is correct later on. Asks now Rav Amnuna to Rav Sheshi, when you say a Dvar Mishnah, what does that mean? When you're talking about precedent, is that a Mishnah? Would you say even a Braita? I mean, not everybody knows the Braita. So if you have the Braita that went under the peer review of Rabbi Rav Hoshaya, we have many Braita that we say we don't accept because they didn't go through that review process. We often find questions about it. We say, okay, this is Mishabashta out. But how about if it's one of the accepted Braita of Rabbi and Rabbi Hoshaya? Would that also be an absolutely objective precedent? Amalein. Why not? Sure. Well, I mean, would you say even a Gemara? I mean, let's say Rav and Shmuel, and they paskin Amala, yes. That's clear precedent. Mm. How about us? Me and you. I mean, I feel a bit dividi-dach. I mean, is the next generation going to Amalei? Well, what exactly do you think we are? The local exterminators? Oh, to anan katli kani ba'agmanan? What do you think we are? Reed collectors? I mean, obviously, we're all part of the same tradition, and the precedents are created as the generations go on. But there's some magic in which we don't register. Now, when you say judgment, what does that mean? Echidami shikol adat. I mean, if it's really judgment, I mean, it's like pure judgment. If it's pure judgment, so then obviously, well, who's to you right now when you're wrong before? I mean, we'll never be able to objectively address that. What standards are you calling a mistake in shikol adat instead of a change of shikol adat? But obviously, a change of shikol adat, well, why in the world should we be ma'azir adin? So what do you mean by a shikol adat? Omer of Papa, no, there certainly are standards. Let's say, you're going Trey Tanoi or Trey Meloi. Let's say we have now, there's many cases where a Mishnah or a Braita will bring a Machloket, or a Gemara will bring a Machloket, and it does not come out with a definitive Psak. So there's no Hilchata. There's no rules of Psak in a particular thing. So over there you could say, okay, so it's all up to you. No, wait a minute. He goes ahead now, Ve'ikri Ve'ovek Echad Minayu. So he follows his own sense of who he believes to be more correct, which is perfectly all right. And therefore, there would be no basis of his changing his mind other than, now I disagree with myself. So we like the way you said it the first time. But here the problem is that the sugya, the alma, as Rashi's girsa, azle ki'idach, what we find is that the norm of, so there's a normative psak. In other words, if you take a look and you get the Piskei Beit Din all over the world, this is how Rashi learns it. Not the sugya de shmaitata, which is a different approach, which I'll discuss in a moment. But the normative psak, if you take a look at bate dinim around the world, has generally accepted to take the other approach, even though there's no literature on it. So there was no ilchata lokomar velokomar. There we consider the normative psak to be sufficiently powerful that when you agree with it, it becomes now a basis for saying my first dot was wrong. Because not because I've suddenly been cowed, but because I now realize that the truth is that there was a reason why this became the normative saga. Now, that's Rashi's approach. It requires a change in the girsa from sugya de shmaitata to sugya de alma. The way that the Gemara has it, as others learn the sugya, is the shmaitata means that you can show that, generally speaking, the Gemara itself will always take for granted one of the approaches, even though it never passed. So the norm is, when you look at, wait a minute, but this is really only going according to the way Shmuel was learning. Why is everybody saying it that way? Why weren't we thinking about it in terms of Rav, let's say? So in other words, apparently, that's a bad example, because Rav and Shmuel, we do have Klolim of Pesach, but in places where we wouldn't have Klolim of Pesach. So then we can show that, look, you know, there's so much evidence that this was taken to be the normative approach. So that, with the Sugya d'Shmaitata, the Sugya d'Alma, Aziki Idach, it goes according to the other approach than the one that I took, and now I recognize that I made a mistake. That's called an objective basis for a mistake in Shikul HaDat. So I know Shikul HaDat. Eitvei Rav Nuna Rav Sheshet. I'll give you an example, and this doesn't add up. What do you say about this? Ma'aseh b'parash nitla im shalom. There was a case where a para had a hysterectomy. So the cow's uterus was removed, and they came to Rabbi Tarfon to ask whether that is a problem in Tarfut. Rabbi Tarfon obviously is sort of notet trefut. So he was hechila leklavim, and he says, nah, this thing is no good. It's dog food as far as I'm concerned. Not that he himself turned it into dog food, but he told the guy that's what it's useful for. We'll see more of what happened later. Now, in the end, it came in front of the court in Yavne, which, of course, is in Barnea's neighborhood. They just want to make sure that we get in the word. And they said, nonsense. It's completely mutar. We actually have medical evidence, as Tudus has testified before us, that ein parav chazira yotz et mimi Alexandria shemitzrayim. In order for the Egyptians to maintain their monopoly on certain high breed of parot and of chazirot, so they had a very special trade in cows and in pork, they would not sell a live animal until they sterilized it. The way they sterilize it, well, they would simply take out the uterus. So this was useless. And nobody would end up having any chance of breeding with these animals. Now, obviously, if this thing was a trefa, this was not a very good business, because ultimately that would have medical implications. Who's going to keep buying and spending good money for animals that end up withering and dying? Said Reb Tarfon, when he heard this psak, whoops, there goes your chamor Tarfon, meaning he's going to have to pay. Ay, 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 he says, bad news, halcha chamorcha Tarfon. So Rabbi Akiva, who heard him singing about his bye-bye chamor, said to him, don't worry about it. Amar Rabbi Akiva, paturata. You don't have to worry about it because you are an expert. We already learned that anybody, kol ha-mumcheh, the correct years should be lebeit din. We know that a mumcheh l'rabim is, it could be somebody that people have accepted to be dying. He doesn't have a din of a mumcheh, doesn't really have expertise. You are a mumcheh lebeit din, and that allows you to make mistakes. But Patur Milashalim is, we understand that a mumcheh l'rabim, it's very interesting implications for medical practice as well. As the question is, do we view this as negligence? No. Because a mumcheh l'rabim doesn't simply make mistakes on something that we would not expect a mumcheh to make mistakes. A mumcheh l'beit din, sorry. A mumcheh l'beit din does not make those kind of mistakes. So it's the type of thing we would say, this doctor doesn't make these kind of mistakes. The man's got a sterling reputation. Something happens. When something happens all the time. Right? The best drivers get into accidents. Something happens. The question is whether something happens should be the responsibility of the doctor who has shown that it doesn't just happen to him. So then we view it not as being negligent, but indeed as being something that was mazel. That just bad things happen. As our good friend Gump put it. So this is one of those bad things, you know. What do you want? But you can't blame him for it. He's going to have to pay for it.
What's that?
That's just the Purim side. He's got two approaches. One is the feather, you know. The other one is we're all... Okay, so if that's the case...
But here there's not a mistake at all about din. I mean, Tom can be totally just fine din. Here's a medical...
Okay, so those kind of things don't happen to mumcheh, unless it's, you know, the kind of thing in which things happen. So therefore, you don't have to pay. No, but my problem is like this. I mean, if what you're saying is correct, that the difference is the Torah bidvar Mishnah, so then, that's what you're saying. Our Mishnah, that was the original approach, our Mishnah is talking about where it can be chozer is where it's chozer on a dvar Mishnah. So there's an objective standard. Well, there's an objective standard over here. So iita, lemele, why don't we say that, excuse me, Reb Tarfon, I mean, the Mishnah says nita im shalah, but if the uterus is removed, it's kosher. And you said it was treif. So therefore, you were completely and totally wrong. Just tell them you were wrong. So why do we have to say you don't have to pay?
Why is it called the Torah for our Mishnah?
The Mishnah says beferish that it's kosher. And you said that it's treif.
That's a Mishnah.
It's a Mishnah chulin. Nitla im shalah kshirah. What bigger Mishnah could there be than a Mishnah? It's not a bright, that's not a Gemara, it's a Mishnah. So this they were bringing, there's absolutely no mocker to have a machlokas about it, because we have evidence. So now that you're willing to accept that evidence, so then you're saying, well, why accept this? So that he could say it's a Torah B'dvar Mishnah, everybody's made of that, even if I'm not a mumcha l'beit din. If I could be anybody, and this would be now a Torah B'dvar Mishnah. That's the discussion of the Beit Din. That's prior. Because that's what happened. That's when he found out that he made a mistake. They want to say there's no basis to anybody paskening otherwise. So we know for a fact that it's not that way. So according to your approach, it should be a direct expression of our Mishnah here in Sanhedrin. It says, over here it's Chozer. So just tell them, sorry, send them a telegram, I made a mistake, and your Parah is kosher. Says, well, I mean, maybe that is true. Rabbi Akiva was just saying to him, look, you know, if, I don't care what the mistake is, you would have had to pay. I mean, in this case, for sure you don't have to pay. All you have to do is tell him you were wrong. Chodeva Otka Omar. He's simply adding. He's saying, look, first of all, you're a Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, and a Torah B'Dvar Mishnah is Chozer. But even if it hadn't been a Dvar Mishnah, Inami Bishkula Data Ita, Mumcha L'Beit Dinata, the Kola Mumcha L'Beit Din is Potum in the Shalem. Omar Vachra Yitzhak Lerova, excuse me. What was the question exactly? I must have missed something over here. Rav Amnuna asks Rav Sheshet, why didn't you just send him a telegram and told him you made a mistake? Didn't it say that he turned it into dog food? So what do you mean you made a mistake? That's really nice. Let's run that film backwards and put that part back together again. What kind of question is this? So why exactly would he's asking for the case of the para? The para, ayachila leklavim. He already turned it into dog food. Valetta did the other. We haven't figured out how to undo that yet. So what kind of question is that? The only way you can get out of paying would be because he's a mumcha l'beit din. No. What he's saying is like this. Look. Yamit bishlama ta'a bidvar mishnah eno chozer. If we would be right in saying that a Torah bidvar mishnah also cannot be magzir din, and that we need these other approaches, namely you have best that's gadol b'chokhba b'minyan, but not your approach. So then, the whole thing makes sense, because that would explain Alma Kamdina. That means that once you issued that piska, it stands. And that would be the reason that Rabbi Tarfon was awfully nervous about his poor chamor. I mean, he's been saving up for this jaguar for years, you know. So I needed to come mafkid Rabbi Tarfon, mafkid Rabbi Tarfon, and now Rabbi Akiva has to come back and tell him, don't worry about it. But if you're going to tell me that a Ta'ab Idvar Mishnah can simply change his mind, so then Rabbi Akiva says to him, look, what's your business if the guy turned it into dog food? If the para was here, it wouldn't be a standing din. The din would have been canceled. Din chalav, din avalo klum. So therefore, the din is not a din, lo klum avadata. So hashtanami lo klum avadata. It's irrelevant if just because the guy thought that you were right, so therefore you should be chayef to pay. Now, the truth is that, yes, Aliba to Rabbi Meir, Tosis points out, that Sugya elsewhere says, you would have to pay, but that's going like Rabbi Meir also doing dinner to Garmi. Remember that, normally speaking, we consider a person who does something which causes damage, but it causes damage, it's ancillary damage, that he doesn't directly cause, so that I'm not responsible for it. Like, but I would never have done it. You're right, it's terrible. You know, I'll send you flowers for Shabbos. But I'm not going to pay for your parah and tell you to turn it into dog food. So, and even if I did, it's your decision. So, therefore, loklum avadata. In our case, we're not going like Rabbi Meir. That doesn't hold the dina that he got me over here. So, therefore, hashtanami, lav klum avadata. You didn't do anything. Rav Chisda says, look, there's no problem. I mean, it's talking about shenatav v'natan biyad, v'kan shalom natav v'natan biyad. I don't understand why you think there's a contradiction in the Mishnayot. There's no contradiction in the Mishnayot. Our Mishnah says you can be machzir the din and simply cancel it. And then whatever went wrong, that's not your problem. Whereas the Mishnah in Bechorot that says, well, you know, you could pay, but if you're moved, you don't have to pay. I mean, there's two different cases over here. One is talking about where the judge was involved in the actual psak, and he actualized by taking the money and giving it to the other guy. So he takes the money from him and hands it to the other person. So there is no tevenotein biyad. If he's no tevenotein biyad, so then what are you supposed to do? In that case, masha asasui, it's done. Because there's no way to undo that which he actualized, not just theoretically paskin. Whereas the case here that you could be machzir, kan shalonatan v'natal biyadim. Here it's talking about that he issued a theoretical psak, but that theoretical psak has not been actualized in the world, and therefore can be rescinded. Wait a minute. The Mishnah says, chiyevet azakai, and also says zikat achayav. Now, chiyevet azakai, that's active. So I understand it means you took the money, you're saying, the equivalent case in Bechorot, it says two cases, right? Two cases. So over there I understand one of them is positive, so that it's possible for me to actualize the din by simply taking the money and handing it over to the other guy. How can I actualize a din by saying you don't have to pay? Can you explain that to me? It's passive. I'm saying, well, I don't see any basis of collecting. Okay, fine. And now you do see a basis of collecting. Okay, so go ahead and collect. You say, no, there's no way to change it. Why is there no way to change it? If the difference is the physical actualization, how do you physically actualize something which is passive? Good question. All right? So, therefore, we say, Bishlema chiyevet azakai in Bechorot, where you're saying there's no way to undo it. That's talking about shenatav v'natan biyad. But zika et achayav? How is that? Eichem hashkachat la. Well, says Rav Chisda, it's talking about over here that he issued a psak that says paturata. That was my question, sir. I know that. I'm asking, how do you actualize paturata? V'halo natal v'natan biyad. No, you don't understand. If the man is holding the money and you say to him, well, you don't have to pay that money, so then essentially you've been machlit that money into his wallet. Nobody has to pay him that money. It's in his hands, and now you're saying, okay, it's yours. So in that case, the moment you say, kivadama paturata, that's the full equivalent of handing him over the money. You've now defined it as his money. So it's kimoshinata v'natan biyadami. Really now. So then how do we read our Mishnah? The Mishnah here says, dinei mamonot machazirin bein l'schut bein l'chovah. Now you really got yourself in a pickle. Because I understand. The bishleim l'zichut mashkachatla. I can explain the case of how we can undo the zichut. If I don't believe what you said, I can say the case where you could change your mind is bischut, is where initially you say you're chayav, right, and lo natav v'natan biyad. But how exactly now can I be machzir l'chova? The only case that I see is, that's what the Mishnah is saying, is it not? The judge issued a psak. The psak was paturata. Now he's changed his mind, and he says, chayavata. And you say in our Mishnah, okay, that's fine. You could turn it back and say chayavata. You just said that the very statement of the psak paturata is the equivalent of handing it over. If it's the equivalent of handing it over, then it cannot be chozer. So you've painted yourself into a corner. Because you thought you had a great answer for the Mishnah Bechorot. Mishnah Bechorot? Yeah, I can figure out a way in which it's active. Doesn't look active, doesn't matter. Saying paturata is active. Great. Now let's take your little corner and try to get out of it when it comes to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that you're able to change your mind about saying paturata. But you said if you say paturata, you've already handed him over the money. So either you're going to break down in your understanding of Bechorot, or you're going to break down in your understanding of Sanhedrin, but you can't have both of them. So now explain to me how the two Mishnayot work. Well, Rav Chisda, I'll tell you. I would say like this. It's all one case. There are no two cases. Because remember, when it comes to mamonot, there's always somebody who's a loser and somebody who's a gainer. So you're thinking that, well, we're talking about two different piskei halachot, the way we did in Bechorot. We're not. We're talking about one psak, which memela is machai of one person, and therefore was mezaka the other guy with the money. But I didn't give him the money. I said, and this is all one thing, chorekatani. Dinei mamonot machzirin lezechut, which is a chovah now to the other person. And I didn't take that money. And now we're going to take that money and we're going to say, well, you could have had, you're not going to have it now. So that means that there is a zechut and a chovah. But ein achinami. If there would have been another case, then that would have immediately switched into Bechorot. The other case being, okay, how about if I want to switch back from saying you're patur to chayav? No. There's no way you could switch back from saying you are patur to say you are chayav. Because the moment you said you are patur, you handed over the money. But that doesn't mean there's no case where somebody who was a zechut is not going to be chayav. His zechut was to collect from the other guy, and now he's not going to be able to collect from the other guy. So what's your problem? The Mishnah here doesn't say two different cases. All it says is, bein lezechut, bein lechovah. It's the Mishnah Bechorot that says two different cases. And I can explain those two different cases. One, where it was lechovah, is where I took the money out of his hand and I handed it over. And the other one is, by definition, handing it over, because the moment I say paturata, it's handed over. So that's my answer. I think it's pretty brilliant. I'm actually pretty happy with this approach. Yes, says the Gemara, except for one minor problem. Okay? Let's take a look at this Mishnah again. You're telling me, chode katoni dine momanot or machzirin l'schut, which is a chovah. Okay, now, logically, we now look at the next case, which is, but, in contrast to Sir Richard, in contrast to the next, what's the contrast in the Mishnah? Every case is contrasted to Dinei Nefashot, right? So now we're going to have to find an equivalent case of Dinei Nefashot, which is a zechut for the chovah. Now, I dare you to do that. Because when it comes to Dinei Nefashot, there aren't two people, one of which is a zechut and the other one is the chovah. You're talking about two cases. One person. Is he innocent or is he guilty? But you're saying, no, that it can't mean that because there's no equivalent case in Mormonot. And I'm trying to now set up a Mishnah that has parallels. Where is the parallel? So then by Nefashot, so the Kavata, now the equivalent parallel case, by Nefashot, which says, Machzirin lezechut ve'in machzirin lechovah. So Machzirin lezechut means obviously that the party is innocent. So you're going to tell me, the party is innocent, that means zechut gredata, not that somebody else is a chovah to someone else, because, I mean, there's no, what are you going to say? The guy was Mechal Shabbos. No. The guy was Mechal Shabbos, so who's the person that's suffering when we say, no, he wasn't Mechal Shabbos. Who's suffering? Where's the chovah? There's no chovah. So where do you get the case, which is going to be now parallel? You cannot tell me, ein mazrin lechovah doesn't mean we can't now find the guy guilty. What we really mean is, we can't find the guy innocent in a way that will cause someone else to be guilty. Because that's the only way to work it out that it should be the equivalent of Dinei Mamonot. Go ahead. Give me an example of a case of Dinei Nefashot where, by definition, in making this guy innocent, someone else becomes guilty. That doesn't make sense. So where do you find Ein Machzirin Lechovah that really does not mean what it says? It means we won't, incidentally now, having found this guy, Zechut, that would be a Chovah. To whom? Chovatei Deman. Explain to me. Who's Chovah? That's the only way to make the cases parallel. Who's the guy? Yeah, that doesn't bother me, says Reb Chista. By definition, somebody wants you to die. He's going to be miserable if you don't die. So, exactly. The DA is going to be miserable. He might lose his job. Actually, we do have a case. The case of a Goel Adam. So you're supposed to be found guilty, as far as he's concerned. The moment you're found guilty, he sharpens up his knives. Bah, at last, some real fun. Now you're found innocent and he doesn't have anybody to kill. So he's very upset. I mean, he feels that, look, the facts of the case are known. He was let off of the murder of my relative on some technicality. I'll get him. But he can't get him because now we passed him that he's potter. So that's what it means. Chovatei the Goel Adam. Yeah, you got to be kidding. That is the most insane thing I ever heard. You're telling me that because the Goel Adam is going to be miserable, so therefore we can't be marz of the din lizechut because it'll be lachovah of the Goel Adam. Really? We know that this guy could be found innocent, but after all, we don't want to make the Gol Adam, whose bloodlust is finally ready. We don't want to do that, so we should let him kill the guy. That's what you're saying, Reb Chista. It makes a heck of a lot of sense. Mishum chavatei the Gol Adam, gatlina leilahai. So we'll kill this guy. And besides that, it's not true, because when it comes to the din of the Mishnah here, it says bein. It says bein l'schut, bein l'chova, not schut, which is chova. So bein means we're two different cases. I don't like your whole approach. It's not parallel. It's not grammatically correct. Gosh, no big deal. Everybody always has problems with my approach. Ravina Amar. What's the big deal? Why cannot you actualize a psak that you're saying is passive? It's not passive. Suppose it's a lender. The lender is in possession now of a mashkon. Now you're going to say, well, he's putter. He doesn't have to pay you that loan. We accept his taina, whatever. He has a receipt. You were arguing about the receipt, whatever the case was. Now, we'll take that mashkin from you, sir, and return him his gold watch. So now, were you not over the beyond? You actualized your psak? Absolutely. You didn't have to come out to Rav Chista's business by saying paturata, you actualized. That's not called actualized. But you can still agree with Rav Chista in principle that the difference between the two mishnayot is actualization. And you can indeed actualize any psak. Therefore, in Bechorot, where it says the question is payment, and you can't simply now change the piska, that's talking about was actualized. Either I paid him the money, I took the money from the other guy, I took back now the bashkon that he had, so he had pawned something, I took it out of the pawn shop, gave it back to him. So over there I actualized it, said I'm going to have to pay. That's the point. And what about the other cases? What about the case of Timeyat HaTahar and all of that? What's the problem? There too. You want to say Timeyat HaTahar? This judge likes making his Piske Halachas very clear. This stuff is Tomei. And don't have any questions about it. And he takes out a little lizard from the dead lizard from his pocket, just in case you doubt my word. And he goes, he's Metame all of the guys. So he should actualize that Pesach. But how do you actualize a psak that something is tahar? Huh, very simple. You got no worries about this. And he walks over to the guy's storage bin and throws the tamei perot in, and it's batame. It always makes a mess of everything now. How's the guy going to... Gosh. So it's irvan ben perotav. But there's always a way to actualize things. And the type of judge who likes to be flamboyant about his psak, actually do that. So that's what Bechorot is talking about. Actualize the psak. Now you can't go back. Okay, the next thing that we had was that dinei nefashot, if someone wants to be malameid, is malameid zechut, but someone wants to be malameid chova, we won't give him that opportunity. So the way the Braita puts it is like this. Minayin liyotzei mi beitin chayav. And somebody comes along who's not really qualified, but he says, yesh li malameid alav zechut. Minayin shemach zirinato, we will reopen the case in order to give someone from the shurot an opportunity to be a defense attorney for him, and will be Magzinoto. Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, Vinaki, Vitzadik Al Taharog. So therefore, we have to keep things absolutely. Somebody who is, might be Naki, you have to see to it, Tirchak, go all the distance it's necessary. See to it that this man doesn't die. And how about the other way? Minayin liyotzei mi beitin zakai. V'yomar achad yesh li lalamed alav chuva. Minayin she'en machzirin oto. Well, it says, naki v'tzadik al taharog. The tzadik, what is tzadik? What do you mean tzadik? What am I the judge in the sky? No, it means somebody who was mutzdak in beitin and was found to be innocent. We always use those words. V'tzdiku et tzadik, v'yeshiu et rasha. We use those words in terms of the psak of beitin. So was he a tzaddik in Beit Din? That's it. Enough for me. Al taro. Om Reb Shimi Bar Hashi. And what's interesting is that the exact opposite would be the truth, as we saw earlier, in the case of a mesit. A mesit, it says, lo tachmol ve lo tachase alav. So if somebody now has a chance to be malamet chova, will be malamet chova. We don't want to let him off on a technicality. And if somebody wants to figure out a way in which to let him off, we won't listen to him. So it's the other way around. We'll open up the case for chova and not for zechut. Rav Kahana matne. Rav Kahana says that is learned from where? Ki harog tahargeno. That's what it says. Make sure you get rid of this guy. Boy, I mean, Reb Zeirim, Reb Sheshes. I'm sorry, I skipped. Sorry. Chilufa lemesit tichtiv lo tachmol velo tachase alav. Yes, similar to double jeopardy. Yes, not the mesit, the normal case.
Right.
Why do I say this? Because it says beferish in the pasuk, do not be mechase on him, have no mercy, don't try to find a way out. Rav Kahana says it's a positive. It's bichiharok targeno. See to it that you get rid of him. Boy minei Rabbi Zeira mi Rav Sheshes. Chayavei galuyot mai. This is the way that Rashi understands it, which is the normal way the Gemara speaks. What would be the din of someone who is going into galut? Is that a capital case because it involves a theoretically capital offense, even though in this case it was clear that it was b'shogeg, or do we compare that to dinei momonot? And he answered him, Ati rotzeach rotzeach. The Torah uses the word rotzeach in both cases, rotzeach lamut, and that's the other one is lanut shama rotzeach. So we see that the Torah views the rotzeach b'shogeg and the rotzeach b'meizid as being worthy of the same approach in the beidin. And how about chayvei malkiot? What would be the din of someone who it was found innocent from alkot? Can we give him back into the court to be mechayvim? And he answered him, there too, we have a gezerah shava. Atya, we learn out, in din hakot harasha, from the other din of rasha, rasha lamut. So rasha lamut means that a rotzeach and a chayev malkiot, din hakot harasha, are the same. And therefore we treat him with the same, we will not reopen the case of kovalni lezikr. Tani nami hachi, chayevei galuyot minayin, Atya rotzeach rotzeach, chayve galayot malkot minayin, atya rasha rasha. Ve'en machzirin lechova, we will not now change the psak if it's a chova in dinei nefashot. Om Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Om Reb Yochanan, that's not an absolute. Because there are dinim that are not dinim at all. And there it's not a question of being machzir the din, it's simply that it's a ta'ut on a level that is so absurd that it's not considered to be a piska at all. So it has to be that he was to'eh, b'davar she'ina tzeduki modim bo. It's all very nice to talk about a Mishnah and a Bright and so on as being a Torah, but our Mishnah, but if he was to'eh in something which is so obvious in the nature of the Torah that even tzeduki won't argue about it, that's a called a psak. Zil kri be'ravu. That's this is called a kindergarten. This is not called a beit din. So Kuribera, go to kindergarten now and read about it in kindergarten. And we don't need a judge to tell us about things that we know from kindergarten.
An open pasuk.
Yeah.
Even though we're talking about
20
people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Mishnah says toeh, any kind of ta'ut. You're now trying to apply this to all cases. I mean, how about if there's a mistake in the issue of no'ef v'no'efet? Is there a case over there where you would also say that that's called, I mean, by a rotzeach, there's all types of issues. That's how Rashi says. All types of issues. You've got to analyze the murder weapon. Is it roi to be killed with? And so on. I understand that tzedukah may hold it doesn't matter. You know, lots of things. What's considered to be drisha v'chakira? I mean, thousands of issues that the tzedukim are made, or tzedukim are not made, and I understand. How about the question of straight out a noef and noef? If somebody sleeps with a married woman, what would be the din over there? Is there something that that we have to argue about, or everybody understands that? Tosfos says, what is that supposed to mean? Everybody understands that. There's just as many issues. I mean, we have the question of what is considered to be testimony about a sexual act. How do you bring testimony of a sexual act? We have a microscope, right? You've got a fiberglass optics to see what's going on. You have no idea what's going on. Somebody looks like he's sleeping with a woman. And he says, what are you talking about? How can you prove that he was having intercourse? The tzedukim would be murdered to that? That is necessarily considered to be edut just because I see people carrying on, they look like they're having intercourse. I mean, there's a million things. There's a question of what is called intercourse. Is there a chiyuv hahara? Is anal intercourse, the Gemara is going to analyze later, is it considered to be intercourse according to the tzedukim? Or only according to chachomim? What kind of craziness is that? To say, well, when it comes to noef and noef, there's nothing to argue about. Okay, how could the Gemara have meant that? Of course that's not what the Gemara meant over here. And so the question over here was, according to Tosfos, are these issues things indeed I want to know? Are these issues things which there are machlokes about, which tzedukim or not? Or is everybody okay with this? So says Rabbi Yochanan to him, look, man, Adamoktecha Yakid, Zil Kotz Karchavitzli. You know what? While the barbecue is still burning, that's the time to put the pumpkins on. You don't wait until the barbecue goes out and now try to use the coals. You know what happens when you put your potato in when it's a little bit too late, right? Those potatoes are so hard, but forget about it. By the time people eat the meat, the potatoes are just thrown out. Happens at every barbecue. So certainly, I mean, if a potato, halachas kamer v'kamer, a pumpkin. So Mamela, kind of crazy question is this. We're holding in the middle of this sugya. And he asked me a question like this. According to Tosfos, it means, isn't that what we're dealing with? We now, you want to pretend that, okay, it's all over, now I have a question. This is what we're dealing with. Go get all the facts and come back to me with your facts. Don't come and ask me, is that, or the way Rashi is learning, isn't that what we just discussed? There's no issue? Why are we going over? I love it, the way people have to go. Every little point. So are we going to get this point, get that point? Maybe we should sit here for the next 50 years at the same barbecue. Itmanami, Amrabami, Amrab Yochanan, Ta'a, Binoef, Vinoefet. By the way, some learn, the question is the chiyuv of one as opposed to the other. In other words, are they linked? If there's a problem, legabe one of the dinim, would it automatically be a problem in the other din? Are they linked? This is the shayla. Anyway, so here, Amrabami, Amrab Yochanan, the din is Ta'a, Binoef, Vinoefet. That is straight out kindergarten issues, and it would be chozer. What? So then, Echidami ain't chozer. We're saying there's cases where it wouldn't be chozer. Om Rabbi Abu, Om Rabbi Yochanan. Indeed, let's say you go chita shaloka darka. That is a question. So is bia shaloka darka considered to be? It doesn't say anywhere in the parsha of Arayot of Noif and Noefet anything about bia shaloka darka. The only way we know bia shaloka darka is dafka from the parsha of a zohar. Because over there there's Mishkevei Isha. So remarkably, we learn out the fact that anal intercourse is intercourse from cases where that's our only option. But now we're going to apply it across the board. That's not a Dover Pashut. So over there, Ein Hachinami, that would be considered to be a case where it would be in Chuzri, because the Tzedukim would not be made in it. Review? Dini Momen and Magazirin, Braminu. Dana Tadin Zikata Chayav Tevet Azakati Beta Torti Yerata Tamei Masha Sasui. Vishalim Ebeto, Om Rav Yosef, no problem. They answer the two Mishnayot, Kan B'mumcha, Kan B'shenu Mumcha. Is that true? B'mumcha Magzirim, V'aktani, Imaya Mumcha L'Beitin, Patur M'Leshalem. Om Rav Nachma, the difference is, Kan Shish Gadol Imenem B'chokma B'minyan, Kan Shein Gadol Imenem B'chokma B'minyan. Rav Shesha says the answer is, Kan Sheta'a B'dvar Mishnah, Kan Sheta'a B'shikol Adat. The Om Rav Shesha, Om Rav Asi, Ta'a B'dvar Mishnah Chuzer, Ta'a B'shikol Adat, Eno Chuzer. Omar le Rav Amnuna le Rav Sheshet afilu ta'ab Rabbi Chiyav Rav Oshaya amalein afilu b'derav v'shvul amalein afilu b'didiyi u'b'didach amalein ha ato anan katli kani b'agma anan heichid ami shikal adat om Rav Papa gugod trey tanoy trey maroy de pli yadad evelo et marich ta lo kamar velo kamar v'ikri v'avik yichad binayu but actually the sugi de shmaik ta or sugi de alma is azle ki ida hainu shikal adat Eitve Rav Amnon al Rav Sheshet Maase beparashi nitla im shela vechila revitar for the chlavim uba maase lifnei hachachamim beyavne vehitirua shaomrar to urhei to dutz harofei in parav chazir yotza bin alexandria shal mitzrayim elim kirchotchim haim shela kadei shelo tilet oi 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 am rib tarfon alka kamor ha tarfon omel rib yakiva paturata shkalamnum chela bedin patur min shalim The Iita Lemala, what's the problem? Just say you were wrong. To Ebedvar Mishnah, ta? To Ebedvar Mishnah, Choser. Well, Chodavot Karma, Choda, it's not really a problem. To Ebedvar Mishnah, ta? But To Ebedvar Mishnah, Choser. Not to mention the fact, even had it been Shikaladat, Ta Iita, Yerom Mumchala Beitin, ta? Vacholom Mumchala Beitin, Potur Bedashalim. Omrim Nachum Bar Yitzchul Rava, Michael Motiv Revan and Rav Sheshi, the first place for the Pora. The Porah, it says, Echila leklavim. So there's a letter that the Tehadar. No, Hachikamali. I amrit bishle batoa bedvar mishah eno chuzer. Which would mean, by definition, that kam dina. So I need to come afkin, Rabbi Tarfin, v'kom arlei, iyu. That doesn't matter because you're mumkul abay dina ta vata patur min ha-shalem. Eli, I amrit toa bedvar mishah chuzer. All Rabbi Akiva had to say was, kiven to ilu havoi porah din chalav dina. And therefore, lo kulum avadata, hashtanami lo kulum avadata. Rav Chista says there's no problem anyway between the two Mishnayot. Kan shenatav v'natan b'yad, kan shelo natav v'natan b'yad. Now, wait a minute. Bishul b'chiyev et hazakai, you could say, is the tavad atan miyad. How can you be mizak et hachayav actively? Yecha b'shkachet la. He said, paturata. Yeah, but lo na tavad atan miyad. Ah, but given the omar paturata, k'mish na tavad atan miyad dami. So then, matitin diktani dinei mamonot machzirim ben l'schut ben l'chova. How do you explain that? Bishleim is l'chut, b'shkachet la diomar leimi kora chayavata v'lo na tavad atan miyad. But lechova, by definition, you said that if he said paturata, it's the equivalent of no tevanat biyad dami. No, it's only one case. Chodakatani. Dinei mamonot machzirin lezechut, which by definition will always be a chova, so that there's no act. Okay, the kavata gabi nefashot is that machzirin lezechut vein machzirin lechova. Machzirin lezechut meaning a zechut gredata that's not a chova to somebody else. The in Mazril Chova is the same case for a zechut, which is a chova to somebody else. Who the heck is the somebody else? Hello, Kasha. The chova would be to the Goel Adam. Oh, Mishum Chova to the Goel Adam, Katrida Lelahai. Brilliant. Va'od, my bane bane, Kasha. Ravina Omar Kagon Shahayalu Biyado Mashkon, Venatla Mimeno. So it's the same thing as Rav Chista, but I have a better explanation of the Mishnah. Timeata Tahor would be. Talk about the Agabe Sheret. Tiherata Tamei, Shirvan Ben Perotav. Dine Nefashot Arabban. Minayin Liyotzibi Beitin Chayav Omar Echad. Yesh Li Lelamed Alav Zechut. Minayin Shabach Hazirimuto. Talmud Omar Naki Al Ta'arog. Minayin Liyotzibi Beitin Zakai Omar Echad. Yesh Li Lelamed Alav Chuvah. Minayin Shein Magzirinoto. Talmud Omar Tzadik Al Ta'arog. Omri Pshimi Barashi V'chilufa Labesit. Tichtiv lo tachmol velo tachase alav. Rav Kahana matni, michi harog tor genu. Bo minei Rabbi Zera Rav Sheshes. How about chayvei goloyot? Mai. Atyor rotzeach rotzeach. How about chayvei malkiot? Mai. Atyor rasha rasha. Tainin amiyachi, chayvei goloyot binayin, atyor rotzeach rotzeach, chayvei malkiot binayin, atyor rasha rasha. In Magzir Lechova, Amr Rebchi Barav, Amr Rebbi Yochad, Vuhu, Sheta'a B'davar Shein HaTzidukim Modim Bo, Aval, Ta'a B'davar Shein HaTzidukim Modim Bo, Zil Kor B'Ravu. Boi Minei Rebchi Barav, Amr Rebbi Yochad, How about Ta'a B'Noef, Noef, Fetamau? Omar Lai, you know, Adamoktecha Yakid, Zil Kotz Karcha V'Tzli. It Manami, Amr Rebami, Amr Rebbi Yochad, Ta'a B'Noef, Chozer. Ela Hechidomi, Chozerin, Amr Rebami, Amr Rebbi Yochad, Shita'a B'Shalokit Arkav.